Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And it's Friday.
We made it.
It is the end of the week, and we're still dealing with some dead bodies here.
Man, this minute sucks. That was my zinger for this minute.
I get it.
Yeah.
I got the joke.
Yeah.
All right.
They're not all good, folks. They're not all good.
We're talking minute 19 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we left off with Jameis's body being prepared for the, what I call water funeral, water burial. Preparation.
Yeah.
The
desiccation.
The suck.
The great suck.
The great suck in the sky.
The final suck, if you will.
Do-do-do-do. One of the things that we left off with was, you know, the conversation about the water rings and talking about how Denis really wanted this scene to be shot like the extras that were playing the Water Masters had done this thousands of times and everything, mm-hmm. that they wanted the precision of, you know, this has been a ritual that has been passed down and has been done for millions of people.
How many? We'll get to find out later.
But one of the things that we had to leave off on was how the actual mechanics of the absorption happened. So we left off with Jameis being placed between these two thin, I don't want to call them plastic, but like plastic sheets that created the vacuum. We start this minute off.
The Gore-Tex sheets.
Yeah. We start this minute off following the water flowing through the tubes down into a pump. And we see this pump is just kind of, you know, doing pump things as you would expect.
It's very Sand Thumper-esque.
Yeah.
In its design and operation.
Yeah.
Super efficient machine.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
Also, to the Foley team,
mm-hmm.
fucking just beautiful work.
Yep.
All across the board.
Because imagine the amount of suction that has to go into removing the water from a body.
From a body? Yeah. Holy shit.
But also filtering it immediately, because we're not seeing like viscera run through those tubes. It's just clean water.
Yeah. This is clean, pure water. And we see what's on the other end of this pump, mm-hmm. which is a single tube with a valve on it that the Water Masters are connecting these giant bladders to. So earlier in the movie, we saw what we called the hand grenade bladders.
Yeah.
That looked like giant versions of the F1, you know, standard military, you know, US military hand grenade. These ones are much more slug-like in appearance, I think.
Well, I said they look
scaly
like
scaly slugs.
Well, I said they look like fish.
All right. Yeah, I can see that a little bit.
They look like a crude approximation of a fish, which I thought was interesting given the symbolic significance of all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So we see where all of Jameis's water is going into these large bladders and everything. And they're filling up fast.
Yes.
Like this pump is just cooking here.
Mm-hmm.
Before we leave the room of the dead, though, I do want to talk one thing about what Art and Soul has to say about an early cut of the movie.
Okay.
So it is during this entire process, off in the side of the room, Paul is offered the water rings at the end of this ceremony.
Okay.
In an early cut. And then I guess that is where the book part where Paul asks Chani to hold on to the water rings happens.
Yeah.
Obviously the cut is made, so we don't see that happening and everything, but man, I just like, I don't care if it's disjointed. Just give me an extended edition.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see everything that they shot.
Yeah.
Alas, we don't see that. And we don't see glow globes in this room. Because Denis wanted a darker room to be all about, you know, respect. Whereas sure. the rest of the siege is very lightly or brightly lit.
Yeah.
We do, however, cut to another pretty dark room.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very large dark room.
Cavernous, even.
We see these bladders being, you know, handed from one person to another through a crowd of people praying alongside of, for the first time in Dune, a pool.
Yeah.
But this isn't just any other pool. We see Jameis's water being emptied into this pool.
Mm-hmm. I refer to it as the reservoir. I almost said cistern, but I don't think that holds enough.
Well, Art and Soul calls it a cistern.
Oh, yeah.
They call it the Cistern of Souls.
Okay,
cool. So cistern, I think, would be an appropriate way of describing what we're seeing here.
Well, let's talk about the cistern for a second, then.
Yeah, there's a few things to talk about with the Cistern of Souls.
Yeah. Stilgar switches into exposition mode for a moment and says...
Well, he's there with Jessica.
Yeah, he's there with Jessica. They're, I think they enter the scene kind of in the background. So as these fish-like bladders are being handed from one person to the other and they're being emptied into the reservoir, the cistern, excuse me, mm-hmm. we see Stilgar and Jessica kind of walk in the background on the other side of this pool.
Yeah, this is the back end of woman.
Yeah.
Come with me.
Yeah, exactly. So Stilgar goes on to say this is 38 million deciliters, which is an odd way of measuring water.
It is.
Two, or at least that much water.
Two, it is a shitload of water.
It is.
I have some conversions.
Oh, I do too. Oh,
okay.
Good.
What are your conversions?
Let's just do one at a time. Let's go. Okay. Let's trade off.
So 38 million deciliters is 380 million liters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is roughly 110 million gallons of water.
Okay.
For our American imperial system listeners. That is the equivalent to not one, not two, not five, 10 Exxon Valdez spills.
Whew. Jeez Louise.
For those of you that are old enough to remember Exxon Valdez, that was kind of a big fucking deal when that happened.
So that's also equivalent to 152 Olympic size swimming pools. So another one we have here.
Yep.
So humans have about 40 liters of water in their body. So 4 deciliters.
Okay.
If this is only filled with people,
which it is,
that's what we're led to believe. Yes.
And we're assuming no evaporation whatsoever.
The Fremen are really good about that.
Yep.
That comes up to 9.5 million people.
Yeah.
That's a fuck ton of people.
Yeah.
People's water contained within this reservoir. Now, small aside from the books.
Yep.
The cistern that we meet in the books or that we get to see is not exclusively water from people.
Sure.
It's, you know, water that's captured by the wind traps and dew collectors and stuff like that. So it's not exclusively people water.
But we don't get that indication.
No, we don't get the, no, not here. Any more conversions on your side?
Yeah. Okay. I have one that's actually a little closer to home for you and I.
Okay.
The Georgia Aquarium, which for those of you that ever get the opportunity, go visit it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. They got beluga whales. Love a beluga.
Love a beluga. We also have whale sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Penguins. And in that whale shark tank, which is still the largest aquarium tank in the world.
If it's not, it was only recently surpassed.
Yeah. That tank is a mere 6.3 million gallons.
God almighty.
And then one more conversion. Mm-hmm. You are definitely old enough to remember Deepwater Horizon.
Sure.
That spill was 210 million gallons of oil.
Mm.
So that was about double what this singular cistern is. So yeah, this one cistern is half of all of Deepwater Horizon, or 10 Exxon Valdez.
Goodness.
All right. Or 166.6, repeating, of course, Olympic-sized swimming pools. This is a shitload of water. That's the point.
I have one more conversion for us.
Okay.
And this one I had to take a couple steps to get to.
Okay.
I had to convert.
Not quick maths.
No, this is not quick maths. I had to go into grams for this.
Okay.
Which I know is not traditionally how you measure water.
No, it's not.
But with assuming physics is the same, water has a density, which you can use to convert from liters or liters and ounces and all that kind of stuff over to grams.
Okay.
So this is equivalent to 1,583,333,333.3 repeating.
Of course.
Uncooked Big Macs. Assuming a uncooked weight of 240 grams. Of the and that's straight from McDonald's website. It's a lot of Big Macs.
I'm loving it.
I did that to illustrate the fact that Americans will use anything except the metric system.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's a shit ton of Big Macs. I couldn't obviously go finish Big Macs because cook times will vary the end weight.
Sure.
You're
gonna lose water and weight from the fat
and that all varies. But uncooked weight is published directly from McDonald's website.
How many calories is that?
You know, you could probably figure that out real quick.
I'm not going to, because we have more of Dune to talk about, but someone add us on Blue Sky with how many calories. What was it? 1 billion?
It was 1,583,333,333.3 uncooked Big Macs. I want to say that the joule amount of energy that's a pretty standard conversion from water into calories. So that probably wouldn't be a very hard thing to figure out.
Yeah, but that's water, not beef.
Oh, sure. Okay. If we're talking about Big Macs. Yeah. Okay. enough to make my healthcare provider concerned.
Slightly. Yeah. Unless you're like that one guy that has eaten like over a million Big Macs over the course of his life or whatever.
Jesus.
Surprisingly, he's like, I wouldn't say he's healthy, but he's definitely like still normal sized.
So we continue. So after our conversions, we continue the conversation, and Stilgar says to Jessica that this place is so sacred. None of them would drink this water, even if they were dying of thirst. And we get to see the water attendants, the nuns, whatever you want to call them. They're continuing to pour the extracted water into the cistern. And Stilgar starts a sentence. He says, "Jameis's water," and that is right where our minute ends. Again, following the trend of interrupting sentences.
Dune Part 1 was really good about cutting us off, but
yeah, well, we're not. So, we knew our luck would run out eventually.
Well, no, in fairness, I don't think it's really an interruption because it's just a statement of Jameis's water.
That's fair. That's very fair. This plays about the same amount of significance in the books that it does in this movie here. So it's pretty close analog, other than the fact that it was not just people water in this cistern.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but, this is a very unique place, a very sacred place. I won't say it's unique, but it's a very sacred place. And it holds a certain significance that I think is best left discussed next week.
You know what's significant to discuss this week, though?
What's that?
Glow Globes.
Let's talk about Glow Globes.
There are so many Glow Globes all around the sides of the cistern here.
Yes.
So we have been on a Glow Globe deficit. No longer.
Did you count how many?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
because the thing is like it goes and keeps on going.
Oh, okay.
And keeps on going. The point is that the cistern is very large, and mm-hmm. in order to ensure that no one dares to touch the water,
yeah.
glow globes must be put in place to keep everyone from falling in.
Yeah. And it's important to note that like this, the surface of this water is absolutely still.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. So this is a very, very just calm. There's no disturbances happening to this water. Or at least
the only disturbance from, is the pouring of Jameis's water into the cistern.
But from where Stilgar and Jessica are standing, we do not see that disturbance really rippling out. Yeah, great place. I love this. I remember when I saw this scene in the movie the first time, I was like, this is great. This is perfectly done.
Mm-hmm.
So huge, huge kudos to the team that made this one because it's great.
For some reference from Art and Soul of Dune, obviously they couldn't build the entire cistern out because that would just be way too big. But the cistern and the soundstage that this entire scene was shot on was 28,000 square feet, two walls built with walkways bordering the reservoir. In the middle was an 18-inch deep basin that fell into darkness to be further extended out by visual effects.
Okay.
So they built this thing 18 inches deep wow. and filled it with water even still.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah. Committed.
We love a practical effect.
Yeah. And for anyone that doesn't have these books, first of all, I'd very strongly recommend you get them because, you know, while we do reference and talk about a lot of the content from them, what I can't talk about are the things that the books actually show you.
Yeah.
There's so much concept art in here, and it's so cool to see like where things started from and how we ended up getting them in the final. But yeah, the amount of work that goes into all of these sets, there are pictures, very well lit pictures of the sets and everything, and the amount of detail, like even in the little things, like the amount of cracks in the stone in the ceilings,
mm-hmm.
absolutely insane. Like,
yeah, set design was going crazy.
Set design, like those people work so goddamn hard on these movies.
Didn't they win a? They won some awards. I mean, I know they won some awards for it, but
I want to say yes.
Good. Well, they deserved every one of them.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't remember all of the Oscars and everything that this movie won, which were quite a few.
Yeah.
But that's all that I have for Art and Soul for this week. Okay. Next week, we're going to have a little more to talk about with a certain den in a mountain cave.
Absolutely. So. Well, I think there's only one thing left to do for this week before we close it out.
Shai Hulud's?
Yeah, what are you going to rate this week?
I have a lot of really good things to say about this week. I have a lot of things that make me sad about what was not in this movie.
Sure.
Excluding Friend of Jameis, which mm-hmm. is not an unimportant scene
yep.
from the book, really, I think, negatively impacts. But I understand that, like, Denis wanted... And maybe it's Denis, maybe it's the rest of the producers, maybe it's the studio, I don't know. But they wanted to tell a story where Paul has to earn the respect, ultimately climaxing with what we will see later on in episode 55, 60-ish or whatever.
Mm. We're going to get some beef swelling before then.
Nope. Nope. I think... what saves a lot of this for me, at least, is the amount of attention given to Jameis's burial, the conversation where Stilgar again declares that he has found the Lizan al-Ghaib,
yeah.
And that he's willing to, you know, offer his life to this child. Let's be real. I think I'm going to give it like a 7.5.
You're stealing my numbers, man. I was going to go 7.
Yeah.
For this. Yeah. It's for all the things you mentioned. This was really good. Like it, we got so much of the, we got so much of the siege that we love.
You know? There was a lot of Fremen culture very quickly injected into the audience. And I think most viewers, well, definitely viewers that didn't have any prior knowledge of the book really miss out on a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having prior knowledge of the book and universe and lore and everything really, like, it's like, holy shit, we get to actually see these things finally.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, it was good. Great week overall. So let's get back and do another one because I feel like next week's going to be good too.
Next week, once again, we're going to have a lot to talk about. So, Alrighty. Well, that ends up this week of the Dune Minute, but the conversation doesn't end there. You can find us online on Blue Sky. We are at DuneMinute.com and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We will be back on Monday with more episodes of the Dune Minute podcast. Have a great weekend and we will see you later.
See you.